on this December 18th, as we move toward Christmas, two themes are remarkable. They both coalesce. It's the theme of kingship. You see, in the first reading, Jeremiah prophesies, "Days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot to David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved." And the text goes on to say, "From now on, you won't remember the exodus from Egypt. You'll recall rather how I brought you back from the north, back to your own country. I was faithful to you and to my promises, despite your unfaithfulness to me." The mercy of God giving us a king again, Jesus. And then we have, in the responsorial psalm, the Christmas psalm. "O God, with your justice endow the king, and with your justice the king's son." And this psalm will be repeated all the way up, finally, to Epiphany, the king. "He shall rescue the poor man when he cries out, and the afflicted one when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor, the lives of the poor he shall save." That's the king. It's a tradition in the Middle East, all around, particularly in Israel, that the first role of the king is to take care of those who have no one else to take care of them. That's the first role of the king. So that means everybody can go talk to him. "Mr. King, you know, my neighbor stole my horse and I want it back," or whatever. He look after the poor, the orphan, and the widow. That's his first job. So that's when we celebrate Jesus, our king. He's royal, majestic, powerful. But his main job is to take care of the poor, the weak, the orphan, the sinner. Remember how we have in that lovely preface in those special canons, remember? How he goes out to preach and he's looking for the poor, the sick, and the sinner. That's the king. That was even true, for instance, it's supposed to be true in every kingship, even now over there, but it was true of King Hussein of Jordan, who's dead now. Every like Wednesday afternoon or something like that, he had an open office. Anybody could come in and tell him, "You're doing a terrible job. I don't know why you're king." They could do anything you want. It's important to remember that, because for us, it's the trappings of power. Well, that's right. But the trappings of power used to help the poor, the weak, those who can't take care of themselves. Because if I'm rich and I got 12 brothers, anybody messes with me. Because remember, there's no police force in these days, in the kind that we have, you know. And so it's up to the king. Then we come to this mysterious text. The Annunciation made to Joseph. We have the Annunciation to Our Lady, right, to Mary, in Luke. And here we have the Annunciation made to Joseph. And I'm going to take, to explain this, a direction that with which you might not be familiar, but which is as old as the fathers of the church. That is, of course, Mary told Joseph, they're engaged. She's not going to say anything to him. And who is this Joseph? He is the one who now is the patron of the whole church. What a deep and holy man. What a righteous son of David. The Lord would not entrust her to just some guy. And so she told him, "The Lord came to me and told me that I was going to conceive a son who would rule over the house of Jacob forever," obviously. The Messiah, the one promised, right? We've gone over that when we had the Annunciation according to Luke, if you remember. See, my friends, the hard thing for us, we hear these things, and this is mass time, and we're all devout, you know, but let's get on with it. You know what I mean? Well, it's nonsense. Okay, so the preacher shouldn't talk too long. I agree with that part. But let's get on with it. You see, stop now. You realize what we're talking about? We're talking about God becoming man. Just think of it. Even if he wanted to save us, did he have to do it this way? No. No. But this was the plan of the Father from all eternity. So Mary, you see this, the awesomeness. Just try today, when you get a chance, you know, say, now, what's this? God becomes man. The Word of God becomes man. I've said it since I was 2 years old. Now, what am I saying? And just beg the Holy Spirit to come and open up the eyes of your heart to catch a glimpse of what we're saying. It'll take your breath away. So Our Lady told Joseph. It took his breath away. Remember, we're dealing with a righteous man who's now, as I say, you know, such a great saint that he's the patron of the whole church. A hidden man, right? Okay. So when it says he was righteous and unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Yeah. But what was his real motive? What was Peter's motive? When the Lord said, go out and try again to catch some fish. And they get so many, Peter knows. He catches on. This is someone special from God. At least that much he gets. Maybe more. And he says what? Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I have no business with this stuff. That was Joseph's reaction. This is too holy for me. This is beyond me. As I say, this is different from what we usually hear, is that Joseph couldn't figure it out, and he's a just man, so he just wanted to protect her and put her aside. And I owe this understanding, funny, to Father de la Poterie, one of my old professors, actually. And I'm going to read a passage from St. Bernard there. St. Bernard, who says himself, St. Bernard, the last of the fathers, said, this is not my opinion. This goes back to the fathers of the church. He was just awed. And that's why, you see, such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, remind him of who he is. Do not be afraid to take Mary. Now, if all he wanted to do was set her aside and let the Lord, why would the angel say, do not be afraid? He's awestruck with this. And he said, look, I love you, Mary, but there's no way that I should be like part of this. And so the angel explains to him, it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. We say that so easily. Do you understand? God became a zygote? He wasn't conceived in Our Lady's womb, full bone, ready to be born, was he? The humility of God and how much he loves us. Don't be afraid. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. Every day, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Jesus. She will bear a son. And you, because you are the legal father, it is through you that he is a son of David. You shall name him Jesus. The angel tells her to name him Jesus. Well, she did. She told Joseph. His name is Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And we have this famous prophecy. We've already read it. We'll probably read it again from Isaiah 7, you see, which means God is with us. And now this is Joseph over and over and over again. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He obeyed. If God talks to us, what's the smartest thing we can do? Obey. Obey. He wants us to be holy. He looks at this poor world, you know, sunk in darkness and fear and, oh my gosh, money, pleasure, fear. And he says, now look, I've called you. I've called you to get this world out of this mess. And you have my son, my incarnate word, dwelling in you every day. He comes right down into your body, into your flesh and your bones. Have pity on this world. So he did just as the angel had told him to do. Now, if I have time, if I read fast, I have time. This is St. Bernard, the last of the fathers of the church. I mean the last in chronology. He died in 1154, if I remember correctly. So this is what he said. Why did he wish to leave her? Listen now, no longer to my opinion, but to that of the fathers. The reason why Joseph wished to leave Mary is the same for which Peter distances himself from the Lord by saying, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinner." This is also the reason why the centurion left his home while saying, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." And so Joseph, considering himself unworthy and a sinner, said to himself that such a great person, whose marvelous and superior dignity he admired, could not deign to live together with him. He saw with sacred astonishment that she bore a special quality of the divine presence. And while not being able to understand this mystery, he wished to leave her. Peter dreaded the greatness of the power. The centurion feared the majesty of the presence. Joseph also, being human, feared the novelty of so great a marvel, the profundity of the mystery, and that is why he wished to leave her secretly. You are astonished that Joseph considers himself unworthy of the company of the holy pregnant virgin, and you notice that St. Elizabeth could remain in her presence only by maintaining a respectful fear. She said, "Who is this that God should deem worthy of this favor that the mother of my God should come to me?" There is the reason why Joseph wanted to leave her. So the grace of today, through the liturgy, is to have the grace of awe, the incarnation.